I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, my name is Gary Mansfield, and this is a Ministry of Arts podcast, where each week I speak to a different artist. Now let's begin by banging these bongos.
Yeah, right.
Crazy.
To episode number 63 of the Ministry of Arts podcast. This week I had the pleasure of meeting wildlife artist Louise McNaught. Just by her Instagram page you can see that she's a prolific painter, and that became more evident when I walked into her studio and saw several different artworks in various forms of completion. In this podcast, Louise talks about a wildlife book called Survivor. The conservation group Tusk commissioned Louise to do its illustrations. But come with me into Louise's studio, where she'll tell you more about that herself. This afternoon, I'm with Louise McNaught. Hi, Louise.
Hi.
I've got seven questions that I ask each artist.
Okay.
The first is, how would you explain what you do to someone that didn't know your work?
To somebody that doesn't know my work, because I normally just say, hand them my phone with my images on my phone if they don't. So to describe it's a bit trickier. So I'd say kind of contemporary wildlife art with a twist, I guess. Contemporary wildlife art would be probably the easiest way to describe it to people. Mainly painting, sometimes drawings, on all different size canvases and surfaces.
You're quite prolific, aren't you? I mean, we're in your studio now and there is art everywhere.
Yes.
Waiting to go out, waiting to be started in every stage. Yeah, yes. It's definitely an active studio.
I've always been that way, I guess. I did a fine art degree, and they called me like an art machine. I was always...
Where was that you done it?
It was University of Greenwich, but they had a campus in Tunbridge.
Yeah.
So I went there because I was living in Tunbridge Wells at the time. And
that's a nice place to live, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice, very nice. But yeah, that's kind of was the beginning of my journey as an artist, I guess, like properly.
Were you painting wildlife then?
Yeah, I mean, I've always done animals since I was tiny, since I was little, and I always wanted to be an artist. In fact, I always just thought of myself as an artist. It was something that was going to happen. I just didn't really know how, because no one in my family was an artist, so I had to kind of work it out myself.
And what artist did you like when you was younger?
It was funny because no one in my family was really into art. I didn't really get to go to any galleries or anything, so I think it's maybe started when I was about 16 at school doing art A-level art GCSE. I started looking at like Dali and the kind of surrealists, and they kind of sparked my imagination.
So how did the art enter you? Any idea?
I don't know, because there's like my mum's found photographs of me as with a baby, like with a pencil in my hand, sort of drawing away. And she said, I was always like, you know, drawing shapes even when I couldn't really draw things. It's just always been there. They don't really know where it's come from.
Was there any, do you know which point that you decided that an artist is what you wanted to be?
I remember announcing it when I was 8.
I think that's the earliest I've had so far.
8, yeah, because when I was 5, I thought I was going to be a vet, and then I found out you had to put the animals down. So I was like,
yeah, let's put my daughter off.
Yeah, so maybe I'll draw them instead. So because I always loved animals as well. So it kind of combined. I was like, yeah, that's why I'm going to be an artist. And my parents were kind of like, yeah, great.
Could you explain your style?
I think it's quite, yeah, it's obviously quite realistic, kind of, I suppose, yeah, very realistic, kind of like old mastery-ish kind of style.
It does. I don't know how you explain your work, but I see it as illustration that has gone a bit further.
Yeah, like, yeah. Yeah, and that's funny because it started off, I actually applied for an illustration degree as well, but I didn't quite get in. But, yeah, I was looking at being an illustrator at one point in time, but I didn't think I could illustrate somebody else's ideas. I had very much my own ideas. So I suppose it could be viewed that way, yeah.
Everything overlaps, you know.
Yeah, but I guess I think of illustrations to do with pencils and paintings as something else. But it's funny because I am kind of going back to illustration a bit at the moment. I'm doing a lot of work with coloured pencils again, and I really enjoy drawing. It's all sort of stemmed from drawing. So,
well, you've used a couple of different styles, because the ones I saw of yours a while ago were, they looked like pencil drawings with a colour
underneath.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
was that underneath? I thought it was above when I saw it.
I went through this whole sort of neon phase where I did like neon acrylic underneath the animals, and then I sort of drew over.
How long ago was that?
That started about 2012. That was sort of the first body of work that kind of got me any sort of gallery representation or anyone noticed me, really. And it started whilst I was experimenting with stuff.
Was that while you was at uni? Or,
yeah.
That's pretty handy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Being recognised.
Yeah, but it's because it was called Degree Art, was the gallery.
Yeah.
So I think it kind of, they want artists that are doing their degree or at the end of their degree. So it kind of worked. And then I was with them for a couple of years exclusively, and then I kind of branched out. Yeah. And I had to apply a few times as well. I didn't get in straight away. But no, they're still going strong. They still do that, and I think I've still got a few things on there somewhere. So
yeah, they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
And what you're doing a lot with your work now, you have a subject being whatever animal it may be, and then the upside down drips, as it were.
I have been doing the upside down drips for a long time. Recently, I'm kind of moving away from that now. I just guess I'm not feeling it anymore. I don't feel they're necessary. But I did. It's something I started doing whilst I was at experimenting in college.
What was the theory behind that? Because I know that my feeling when I see them, which is positive, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, I see it as if they're like sort of heavenly or falling, you know, coming into place. I don't know if that was.
Yeah, it was kind of to do with that because I sort of see animals as like divine, and that's why the drips, you know, if they were, because a lot of it's to do with endangered species and things as well, and they're kind of disappearing, but instead of dripping downwards, the paint drip upwards, sort of towards the heavens or whatever you believe in, because, you know, they are divine creatures to me, and that's why the drips went up, and plus there were plenty of paintings with downward drips, so why not go the other way.
Did you do it in series of birds or mammals or?
It started off with birds and stags, and I think mainly British wildlife, and then all sorts. And I eventually ended up doing a show on endangered animals called Survival, and then that ended up becoming a book.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it was weird actually. The book company saw my work at an art fair. And they approached me about possibly illustrating a children's book.
And is that Tusk.org?
No, Tusk is the they're supported by the book. So
there's
a proportion of the sales goes to Tusk, but the actual publishers is Big Picture Press, and they're part of Templar Publishing, which which kind of approached me and asked, you know, and we kind of said, well, what are you doing at the moment then if you don't want to illustrate a children's book? And I said, well, I'm doing this show called Survival on Endangered Species. And then they thought, well, there might be a book in that. And it became a book eventually.
So I'm looking at a book at the moment.
Mm.
And it's your artwork. And then on the opposite page, it's showing a small map of where in the world the animal in question comes from and information about the animal.
Yeah, there's a lady, I think it says on the front, that's done the words Anna Claiborne, because she's done a lot of animal books, hundreds of animal books she's done the sort of wording and literature for. And she had to sort of have everything factually checked as well by sort of... wildlife experts, so they wanted everything to be accurate. So I was literally, you know, the images and sort of the inspiration was the show.
Cool, isn't it?
Yes, it's very cool, and it's not something I was looking to do at all. But I thought that'd be a very cool thing.
Yeah, but when things come to you like this,
yeah, you have to.
It puts you in a different, and it can open up new avenues. Did you decide to illustrate a book from this?
No, this is the only book I've done. So that came out in 2018. So it's been out for about a year and a half. And they sold 15,000 copies in the US, which was nice. And, yeah, it's just kind of more people are aware of my work through the book. And, you know, and it supports Tusk, which is amazing. And they get funds from it to help with the work they're doing. So
where are you now with your work at the moment?
Well, I did two solo shows last year, and they were based around sort of animals and consumerism. I've got another solo show coming up in March in Kent. I think that's going to be more to do with animals from... I'm sort of concentrating on the animals that have been harmed by the wildfires, so animals in Australia, Amazonian animals, trying to draw attention to them.
You know what's going on in Australia at the moment? Yeah. It's not too good, eh?
No, I've just done a thing with... we raised some money through selling a sort of timed-release print with Art Republic to raise some money for the koalas. Yeah, it's horrible. It's really horrible. Because it's on my mind all the time, it just makes sense that I make work about it, really.
And do you work within the conservation side of it as well?
I don't really have a lot of time to go and...
I wouldn't imagine. When I walked in and saw all the amount of work you've got going on.
And obviously having a little girl as well, I don't really have any sort of time to go and do conservation stuff myself. Yeah. But I try and support, you know, any charities that approach me and say, you know, can you donate this or can you spare some time at this event?
I mean, that's all just ideal, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the time when I speak to artists...
Yeah.
And it's hard to support charities, but when charities who speak to you are directly involved with your subject, it's just beneficial for you to give a print over anyway, because it's just exposure to the right people, isn't it?
Yeah, and it just makes sense, because, you know, they're all about the animals, and that's what my work's all about, and it just makes sense, really.
So I see a few that you've got going. Are they going to have the drips, or have you moved away from those?
I've moved away from them for now. Yeah, that's the problem. My work does, it evolves. Because I get bored really easily, so my work does change a lot. Because it's quite different from when I was doing neon animals a few years ago. But for now the drips have gone. But I'm still doing, you know, the plain coloured backgrounds, and there's still loads of detail in the work that's never changed.
I don't think there's anything wrong with the plain background at all. It gives more focus to the subject, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that's why I've always done it that way.
What piece that you've created has the biggest emotional pull?
Oh gosh, it tends to be the last piece I've done, really.
Yeah, a few people have said that. Yeah, and then why not? And you say it should be.
Yeah, because I guess, and because I do, I've got like two or three on the go at one time. Yeah, it's normally the one I've just completed, because it's, you know, you spent so much time, you've been excited about it, you've actually done it. So it's normally the one I've just completed.
Is there any that have got more exposure than you expected them to?
Yeah, I did this one of three falling bees.
I like those. Did I write them down? That was ones that
Yeah, and they were kind of on fire, and there were three of them falling. It was called Ashes, Ashes, We'll Fall Down, and I did a print of it, and it sold out quite quickly. And it surprised me, because I thought, oh, is that going to be a bit too much for people, because they're on fire? But it just seemed to resonate with people, and, you know, it was quite a strong image. So
The ones on the train tickets were pretty cool as well, weren't they?
Oh, people
the
like those.
Cards.
Yeah, yeah. That actually dated back to something I started in my... In my uni, I started painting animals on sort of disposable items, and that just carried on.
We just take them out of one world and putting them into another, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
I saw that you was with Ace Club in November.
Yes.
Is that
the
first time you're showing with them?
Yes.
They're cool, aren't they?
They are very cool, and they've got some of my artist friends a part of it. So I was like, oh, that sounds really good in Spitalfields. Oh, so cold though.
Oh, was it? I wasn't able to
freezing.
Get down. I was away that day.
Oh my god, it was so cold. It was.
But Heath wasn't there either, was he? He was in America at the time, wasn't he?
I didn't see him, so I don't think so.
I don't think he was there.
No. I mean, it was good, you know, very busy, obviously, but it was so cold. And I think it was my birthday. It was around my birthday.
What did you put in there? Did you put larger stuff, or have you got smaller?
It's mainly prints, because I thought. That kind of place, people only have the mindset to spend so much in that kind of setting. So prints seem to be the main thing. Some people brought some originals, but I think it was mainly prints people were buying, off me anyway.
Yeah, a lot of people who are into art can afford a £100 or thereabouts, can't they? You know?
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be such a big decision as well.
Yeah, if you try to sell them an original that day, it probably wouldn't be too easy, would it?
No.
Where do you go to relax, or what do you do to relax?
To relax? I listen to music, watch movies, anything. I mean, I find doing my art actually is quite relaxing.
I was just about to say, when people have pre-teen children, a lot of them say doing the art is relaxing.
Going to work is relaxing.
Getting out of the home.
Yes, because at this age, they're so full of energy. It's a complete opposite to what you are. You know, she wakes up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I before she was born, I used to get up at about 8.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh my God.
Stuff changes, doesn't it?
It changes completely. Everything changes.
If there was 5 artists, past and present, what would your perfect group show be?
Oh, that's a good question.
Like a palm reader.
Yeah, no, because I wrote some on my hand to try and remind me who I think's awesome. So I like a lot of taxidermy artists, funnily enough, because, most of them say that the animals have died of natural causes or whatever. So I like Kate Maguire and... Polly Morgan and Tessa Farmer. Maguire's more like she just uses the feathers and creates sort of sculptures out of different bird feathers. And Tessa Farmer just uses tiny little insects and creates like little fairies out of them.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen...
It's amazing. She doesn't seem to have a huge following, but her work's, you know, been in some pretty cool places.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it works.
No. But I had to, like, it was when I came across, when I was doing my degree, when I was researching sort of animal artists, and I came across her, and, you know, she wasn't, like, quite easy to find. She was kind of...
Yeah.
But her work is just incredible.
Well, that's good when you find someone who isn't... It feels like it's your little...
They're like a fun.
Secret, yeah. It's yours. Yes. Yours too. And Polly Morgan's...
Very well
Polly
known.
Morgan, yeah. She's great.
She is, yeah. And I love her stuff with snakes and mice. And
she's moved in a bit of a different direction as well recently with her work.
Yeah, yeah.
If you wasn't an artist, what do you think you'd like to be?
I did want to be a vet. Maybe I'd be able to do it now. I don't know. You have to study for a long time, though, and that's
about 7 years or something, isn't it?
Yeah, my husband's doing an architecture degree, and that's about that long. It's a long time. Yeah. I used to sing in bands. Maybe something to do with singing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of artists are frustrated musicians, and vice versa.
I did do a bit of singing in bands, but I did find it frustrating because, again, it's all the sort of egos, but it can be fun, I think.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a thing for me, really.
No. What would you want to be?
Well, it's not necessarily what I'd want to be, but I've said this on here a couple of times when people have asked me. I worked on a pig farm years ago.
Really?
And I was in... Do you know anything about my backstory?
I just know you had a time in prison.
Right, so I was in prison when I was 18 as well.
Wow.
Apart from the last one.
Yeah.
Just for a few months for being a silly teenager. Well, yeah, silly teenager. And I worked on a pig farm for a couple of months.
Yeah.
And after a couple of weeks, it was brilliant just working with... Oh, you got to send them off to slaughter, but... It was great working with the pigs and... You know,
yeah, working
amazing,
with animals.
Amazing creatures anyway. You know, they're so... I think they said they're as intelligent as dogs.
Yeah, I think they say it's as intelligent as a three-year-old human pigs
are. Yeah, it was pretty cool. It's what I'd like to do, you know.
If I
had a little small holding. I don't think the other half would fancy a load of pigs in that garden, but I definitely would.
Yeah, working with animals, that's probably a good one as well.
Although I don't know how it's going to sort of... lie with you, but I'd like a little butchery as well.
Oh my god.
Exactly. So it's not really the thing to... That was probably all right a few years ago. It's not really the thing now, I suppose, but...
Yeah, everyone's vegan at the moment, aren't they?
No, until February.
God.
Are you vegetarian or vegan?
Pretty much, yeah. I am, but because I've got a five-year-old, I don't enforce it on her. So, you know, while she's still learning to... She's still learning to eat and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there's the odd occasion where she, like... make me eat a bit of her chicken,
course, yeah.
And I can't, you know, because I don't want to enforce it on her. No. So, but it agrees with me more anyway, because I've never been a big meat eater, and funnily enough, she's not that into meat, but she does eat a bit of chicken.
Thing,
no, it's, you know, it's choice and what, you know, what your beliefs are, I guess.
Do you have any pets?
I got two cats. Did have three, but one passed away last year. So yeah, two cats.
I did expect to come into a zoo, you know. I thought you'd have parrots and parakeets.
I would love to, but I think I'd need a bigger house. And yeah, it's kind of like what you can sort of manage.
Yeah.
And cats are pretty, you know, they're pretty cool to have, but they kind of look after themselves.
Yeah,
and...
not my cup of tea. Really.
No, because people, you're probably more into dogs, maybe.
Yeah, I prefer.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's more of the sort of your
cats
lifestyle,
have got
or
a bit of the devil in them. The way they
not my cats. My cats are adorable, but no, some of them can be quite. It depends. It depends. But yeah, no, I like cats.
Have any of them featured in your work?
No, I don't do a lot of domestic animals. I get the odd commission for a domestic. But it's more sort of wild animals, really. And plus, I don't know. It feels weird painting my own animals. Yeah, haven't really done that.
So where's your work going, do you think?
It's hard to tell. I mean, I've started doing, like, glitching animals and stuff. So I think it's kind of going a bit more that way, sort of how they're interfacing with us and technology and consumerism and all that sort of thing. So I think it's sort of going that way a bit more. And I think it might be going back to drawing a bit more, because that's something I started doing again and I'm quite enjoying. So yeah, maybe some more drawing.
Was you missing it?
It's just something, it's funny because you sort of get into, like, I always thought like paintings were more sort of like proper art than drawings, but that's silly, really.
I don't see that.
No, it's silly. So yeah, I've really enjoyed getting back into it, and I think I don't know, it might go somewhere.
Well, I'm aware that people like to have a lot of colour, or buyers like to have colour in their work. It's hard to sell sort of just a plain pencil.
Yeah,
a black and white drawing.
Well,
know.
Yeah, they're mainly colour drawings. I've got a thing about colour, so yeah, they will
less,
be.
That's handy.
Yeah, they will be colour drawings.
I mean, half your studio is taken up with spray cans.
I know. I know. Somebody said to me, you know, if there was a spark in there, it would just ignite.
Yeah, I've been in a few graffiti artists' studios, and yeah, they've probably got a little bit less than you,
oh
really.
Oh my god. Yeah, I've got quite a few.
What have you got coming up at the moment?
So I've got a solo show in April. Before that, I've got the other art fair, which I've never done before, which I'm really looking forward
to. His is the next episode out.
Is it?
Yes.
That's cool.
Stania.
Oh, really cool.
Yeah, on the 6th of February, his one's coming out.
Oh, I've
just... So it will be after this comes out.
Yeah. Yeah, no, because this is the first time I've done the other offer. I've applied for like years and years and I've never gotten in because it's just so
popular. I didn't realise it was so hard. I thought it would just be a matter of paying your money and then getting in, because I've never applied for it.
No.
And it was a couple of years ago that I saw that you go before a committee. One of my friends was on the committee last year.
Did that help? Or you didn't
I didn't apply. Well, I didn't know until after anyway. But
no.
Yeah, that's a pretty good thing, isn't it? You know,
I've gone to it before, and I really like, you know, how it's like the artist selling their own work, because that's something I don't get to do that often, obviously, through galleries, and it's nice to do it yourself.
It's nice to have that, as what I was saying to Ryan, who runs the other art fair. It's nice for the buyer to meet the artist as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's the good thing with doing the Ace Club.
Yeah.
And the Art Car Boot Fair as well, you know, it's all of those sort of things. Have you been to the Art Car Boot
Fair? I've been to it. I'd like to be in it, but I don't really know how you get into that one. It seems to be, I think it's, I don't know, maybe they just choose you or something.
Yeah, pretty much an invite.
Yeah, invite only.
Where can people find you, website or social media?
So, louisemcnaught.com, or if it's on Instagram, I think it's at Louise_McNaught_artist.
It is.
Yep.
Brilliant. Louise, that's all my questions asked.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time.
It's been fun.
Cheers. There you have it, Louise McNaught. And relating back to a podcast a couple of weeks ago with Ryan Stanier from the other art fair, Louise mentioned she was going to be at the London show, which is at the Old Truman Brewery on the 19th to the 22nd of March. As we mentioned in the intro, and Louise mentioned in this podcast, the wildlife book she illustrated, Survival, is for sale at £12.99 at tusk.org. And speaking of endangered species, the next two podcasts are from artists who have both produced portraits of the Queen. So like I say every week, thanks for listening. And whatever platform you're listening to this podcast, you should be able to leave a comment. If you're able to spend a few seconds doing that, that would be great, because not only does it help us in the listings, it also helps those looking for an art podcast. So, until next week, ta-da!
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.